Over the weekend, Mark Zuckerberg addressed the problem of fake news on Facebook, saying Facebook's working on stronger detection. Last week, Google's CEO said fake news sites bankrolled by Google-served ads could have swung the election in President-elect Trump's favor, and they were viewed more than traditional news sites. The day after the election, the New York Times did an anatomy of a false tweet that a 30-something Austin businessman sent, concluding that people were being bussed into Austin to protest Donald Trump's election because he saw a lot of buses. But it was completely false. The buses were for a private conference. The story, though, was shared and reposted hundreds of thousands of times. Even Donald Trump claimed it was true. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He's given this all some thought. He joins us as he does every Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hi there.
And the story of the Austin tweet is so instructive. The man didn't vote for Trump. He voted for a third-party candidate. He just sent it out. He said, I don't have time to fact-check. I only have 40 followers. Then boom. Your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, one can sympathize with the person who sent the tweet, right? We've all passed along something or other. It's an email. It's a Facebook post. It's a tweet that seemed true and then turned out not to be. The question is, how does an accidental tweet from somebody with 40 followers get thousands and thousands of retweets? And the answer to this sort of question is that typically it's not the person who tweeted it, who sends it, who's responsible for its widest distribution. It tends to hit some broadcaster. Someone with tens of thousands of followers who picks it up. And in this case, the article was picked up by a Reddit page that favors Donald Trump. It was picked up by a conservative website, Free Republic, and it was picked up by a popular Facebook page, Robertson Family Values, which is associated with the men from Duck Dynasty, that incredibly popular cable television show, which that Facebook page has 1.1 million followers. That's almost as much as The Atlantic, which is the magazine that I work for. So, you know, It itself is essentially a broadcaster. So what's happened, I think, what we've seen is that there is this network of conservative broadcasters that have facilitated the spread of fake news. It is absolutely, as you said, something of great concern.
Well, it also seems like an interesting moment that could possibly only have happened with all the different players that we have. We have the fake sites, we have the social media, we have the capability, mm-hmm. and we have a president-elect who lives on social media. And we remember when Donald Trump would repeat things on the campaign trail. For instance, when a man rushed the stage, he tweeted out, he was a member of ISIS. And when asked if that was true, he said, well, I don't know. All I know is what's on the internet. Your thoughts there?
Or what's on television. Yeah. I mean, Donald Trump would often frame his accusations by saying, people are saying X. I have heard that Y. And so what he's essentially doing is that, a bit like somebody passing along an email or passing along a Facebook or Twitter post, he's distancing himself from the provenance of the claim and essentially saying, well, if I saw it, if it came to my attention, then it's worth me passing along to thousands of people, both in my direct audience and people who might be watching this rally on television or online. And so this is an environment right now, I think, where truth is really, really difficult to verify because there's so much stuff that's floating around that is dubious. And we have a president-elect right now who is passing along a lot of dubious information because he finds it interesting he particularly finds it sort of jiving with his personal philosophy.
We also have a new member of his team, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump's chief strategist. Joshua Green from Bloomberg Businessweek talked to NPR's On the Media over the weekend, into Fresh Air before that, about a kind of circular energy here. Steve Bannon, yes, was once the head of Breitbart News, which he said was a platform for alt-right sites. But he also co-founded a nonprofit research organization called the Government Accountability Institute that feverishly produced reports against Hillary Clinton starting back in the 90s, with the goal of getting those reports into mainstream papers like The Washington Post, so that Breitbart News could then report that the Washington Post reported on this report from the Government Accountability Institute, so it must be true.
It's an amazing game of provenance, like, you know, a kind of daisy chain of integrity. It really is the sort of thing that I think makes a lot of people, you know, wonder what exactly Steve Bannon's role in this administration is going to be, since he sort of rose to fame as a propaganda merchant, as a very successful propaganda merchant for the alt-right with Breitbart and other sites. Is he going to be doing the same thing for the administration? And I think it is is worth being concerned. I should say overall, if there are, you know, conservative listeners out there, that I to a certain extent, you know, liberals have done this as well. People who are moderates, people who are apolitical, have passed along information who they cannot individually verify. We are all at one point or another guilty of passing along what one might call fake news. But if you look at the fake news ecosystem as it currently exists, it certainly seems to be skewed toward pro-Donald Trump stories or anti-Hillary Clinton stories, to be more exact.
Well, Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, we can tell you for sure there are many conservative listeners to Here and Now. We always appreciate hearing from them. And the Oxford Dictionary recently named post-truth the word of the year. It's defined as relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. Derek, thanks so much.
Thank you.